Hello and welcome to the Geek Stampede Comics Roundup for the week of Wednesday, July the 30th. I don't know why we bother saying that anymore, because we rarely talk about the books that came out that week, because we have shit to do.
And we rarely talk about weeks.
You're not wrong. We're busy people.
I rarely am.
You know, I think back to some of the old podcasts I used to listen to, and they would do a pick of the week comp podcast that would come out on Friday. I'm like, how do you have time to read all these fucking comic books before you record?
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of pressure.
Clearly they don't have children, or whatever it is you do with your time.
Anyway, baseball.
Yeah. I'm Joey G, and the voice of baseball is with me, Mr. Ryan Heff.
Go Jays, six in a row.
All right. Robbie G is apparently in British Columbia with his former girlfriend, whom he is engaged to. So he's not here. But,
engaged to break up with. Hey-o.
But luckily for us, whenever it occurs to me, we have a special guest waiting in the wings.
Ooh.
It was more special when he was here for the 50th. That was only two episodes ago.
One episode ago?
Well, 51. I mean,
wait, did we do 50 and then we skipped 50, a week?
We did 51 and then we skipped a week, and now it's 52. Because last week we were busy.
We skipped a week after the 50th, though, right?
No.
I'm sure we did.
I don't think so.
I'm like,
take off your jacket. Stay a while. What are you doing?
I know, and it's like a garbage bag jacket, so I'm like,
what is the skull logo?
It's a
hardcore band?
Yeah.
Are they good?
No. I mean, most of the hardcore bands I like aren't.
Anyway, you distracted me from introducing Justin. Justin is back. Welcome, sir.
Hello.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good.
Hi, guys. I am un-garbage bagged.
Good. Sit down, then.
Gonna grab my big gulp.
Well, see ya. So, this week, we are going to be looking at the previews catalog for August, for comics shipping in October, as well as some other comics from this week, and just general chit-chat, and
One day, previews is going to be my pick of the week. I'm waiting for a really bad week where it's like my favorite thing to read was previews.
That would actually be pretty funny.
I just ruined the joke, though.
Yeah, you did.
Like, well, Rob won't listen to this.
To be honest, though, dude, like, you usually telegraph and ruin your own jokes.
It'd be funny because previews isn't a real comic book. It's just a
I understand the comedy.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I do. I know we can't. I can't make it my favorite because it's not a comic and it didn't come out this week. But I finally saw Jodorowsky's Dune.
Hmm.
That's a great fucking movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like Dune?
No, it's a documentary about how Alejandro Jodorowsky tried to make Dune and it didn't happen. But it's basically like, you know how the first quarter of the Blues Brothers is them getting the band back together?
Yep.
It's pretty much a documentary of Jodorowsky putting a band together to make the coolest movie ever, and then it not happening. But just, like, the story of him putting the band together is so cool, and he's the most, like, delightfully eccentric genius ever. And there's lots of Mobius art, and lots of H.R. Giger, who was sounding pretty rough there.
Looking pretty old, yeah.
I couldn't decide if he was just old or if he had a big goiter or what the fuck was wrong with his face, but weird looking guy. And my favorite thing about the movie was hearing Dan O'Bannon talk about it, because Dan O'Bannon's a bit of a hero of mine. He wrote and did all the special effects for Dark Star, the first John Carpenter movie, which was what actually attracted Jodorowsky to him, to get him to do the special effects for his Dune. But Dark Star was one of the best and funniest, like, sci-fi movies ever, and it predates Star Wars, so the effects look pretty cool, including a beach ball monster.
John Carter, huh? Carpenter, huh?
Carpenter.
John Carter.
John Carpenter, huh? Escape from New York.
What about it?
I've seen it.
Also, John Carter. Have you seen Big Trouble?
No,
it's on Netflix.
Like,
I thought you were borrowing it. Like,
Rob
borrowed it, and he hasn't given it back yet. I doubt he's watched it, but it's on Netflix.
Me when I borrow The Protector from you.
Sitting in my truck.
Yeah, I had it for like a month and a half.
You still
never
didn't
watch it. Yeah. Well.
That's fine. I've had Charlie's copy of Justice League Tower of Babel for almost 3 years, I think.
Charlie's had a short box I bought for him for 2 years, and he never paid me for it. So he's holding box for me.
He has all the magic cards I ever bought that I sold him, quotation marks, because he hasn't paid me for those either, but whatever.
And Charlie has a chocolate factory. Fuck. Not good.
Speaking of chocolate factories, I don't know if you guys are Primus fans.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
Primus's new album is called Primus and the Chocolate. It's like them doing the soundtrack from Charlie and the Chocolate, like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
What, like the good Oompa Loompa song?
Yeah. The good one, not the awesome. God-awful Tim Burton one.
Hey, I like that movie. It was quirky.
Shut up, Brian. It was quirky, though.
I don't like Tim Burton movies.
I don't like most Tim Burton movies. Some of them are okay.
I like Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice is awesome.
Yeah, Beetlejuice is a great movie.
Yeah.
Old Tim Burton is definitely superior.
Oh, definitely.
New Tim Burton.
I do kind of like Big Fish.
I hate Big Fish.
I kind of like Big Fish.
I like Pee-wee's Big Adventure because it's like, amazing.
Yeah.
I like Beetlejuice. I have a soft spot for the two Batman movies. They're not what I'd call good, but I like Bat Dance, the Prince song, so...
That's fair.
The only way for that to exist was
yeah,
the Tim Burton
enough of
Batman.
That movie. And then I like... Let's see what else... I like Frighteningly. I don't like Edward Scissorhands very much. Mostly because, like, he has been casting Edward Scissorhands in his movies ever since then. Not Johnny Depp. I mean Helena Bonham Carter. He liked that character he invented so much that he dressed
married
his wife
her.
Up like her and married her. Yeah. And then every time I see her in anything other than The King's Speech, I'm just like, God, why do you insist on just being Edward Scissorhands in everything? Mm-hmm. Like, she was fucking horrible in those Harry Potter wizard movies.
Yeah. She went for it.
Also,
she goes for it. Like,
she went full Scissorhands.
She is not
you a never
subtle.
Go full Scissorhands. You never go full Scissorhands.
She's not a subtle actress.
And yet, like, if you watch her when she's acting, like, in a real movie, like The King's Speech, she's wonderful in that movie. And, like, she's tolerable
that.
In a movie I don't like Fight Club.
Yeah, but she's still in that movie. She's,
did you hear Chuck Palahniuk is writing a sequel to Fight Club as a comic from Dark Horse and, what's his face? My mind's not blank.
I'm trying to remember.
Cameron Stewart is doing the art.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I hate Fight Club, but Cameron Stewart is almost enough for me to... I'm already filled with morbid curiosity about what the fuck Chuck Palahniuk is going to do in his weird sequel to Fight Club.
Mm-hmm.
But I say almost because it's not quite. Cameron Stewart's pretty great, but I could give a fuck about Fight Club.
He should have Michael Allred do it.
But isn't that just, like, so weird? Like, that to me seems weirder than, like, Django and Zorro are doing a crossover.
And that's pretty weird.
Yeah, but it's also pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, but at least those two, like, theoretically they could be in the same world because the time period is, I guess, close, right? Like,
does this mean, like, you know how every Tarantino movie is, like, in the same universe?
Yeah.
Does this mean that Zorro also takes place in that universe?
I'd like to think so.
Is Tarantino, like, co-writing this?
Apparently.
Then, yep.
With Matt Wagner.
Then, yep.
Or as I call him, Matt Wagner.
It's canon.
It's
canon.
It's canon, exactly.
Nick Cannon.
All right, enough of that. Let's start with Dark Horse Comics, you guys. What the fuck was that? Oh, it's the fucking neighbor dog to me.
I thought it was, like, a weird laugh.
Oh, those dogs, they woke up Brody, like, 7 times the other night. I was so fucking mad.
I saw
because they were sitting out there in their deck. Oh, I was so fucking mad. I like
how you were about to say something. It sounded like you were going to say they were sitting on their deck, and then you were going to continue explaining what they were doing. And you were like, because they were sitting on their deck. I was so mad.
I just got sewed all over my
That
beard.
Was all they needed to do.
Yeah.
What they did, that was bad. Sad.
So, here's something. I've never really read Alien vs. Predator comics, or any Alien or Predator comics at all. Mm-hmm. But this one is Christopher Sabella, who's writing it, who is writing, you know, Dead Letters, and I like Dead Letters. And the artist is Ariel Olivetti, and I really like Ariel Olivetti.
Is it Sabella who's like really good friends with Matt Fraction and started like writing Fantastic Four? I think it's him.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Because it was Lee Allred who wrote FF when Fraction kind of like left Fantastic Four and FF. And then I think it was him that
co-wrote. Well, I know him mostly because he writes a really fucking good Monkey Brain comic called High Crimes.
I like that book.
Yeah, that's where I first discovered him. And then Dead Letters was his book, which I realized I have issue 1 and issue 4. I don't know how I missed 2 and 3, but...
I was waiting for 2, and then I think I noticed like 6 or whatever is in the preview, so...
Yeah.
Guess it's come out.
Yeah, 4 just came out, and I got it. And I was talking to Chris, and he was just like, is this yours? I'm like, I think so, but I don't know if I got 3. So I'll go check. And I have 1. So so I said, find me the other ones. Anyway, but this looks like it could actually be an interesting... at least it'll look cool. All of Eddie's art is so awesome. He did
that
a Conan
cool.
recently that was really good.
I would read that book if I cared about aliens or predators.
I guess they've been doing this stuff forever, but they're doing a lot of alien versus predator stuff now. Aliens, predators. Chris Roberson's doing an alien book, and there's a Prometheus book. I fucking hate Prometheus, but Juan Ferreira's doing the art.
I like that movie.
Why? Why? What is wrong with you? It is bad.
You know why? Because I wasn't excited for it.
Yeah, I was excited for it.
Yeah, I wasn't, and I had no expectations. And
it
was fine.
Your expectations were certainly met.
Pretty much.
So, I was going to say, oh, J. Michael Straczynski's writing a Terminator book, but I just see that this is issue 10 of 12, so barely
he's been doing it for a while.
I was like, I have no idea. Okay.
Congratulations on the work.
I guess I go pretty quick through the first half of the Dark Horse section, because there's usually nothing until Conan that I'm interested in.
Yeah, no, it's...
kind of slower, I guess, is the thing.
So, are they building up their Aliens franchise to be their Star Wars now?
I guess I'll be thinking about that, because... San Diego, they announced those new Star Wars books. Are you excited?
Because they're putting like excellent writers on it.
Princess Leia book.
Yeah, and I can't remember who the artist is. John Cassaday is doing the art. So, that'll come out over 2 years.
I think it's cool that they're doing that. I'm 99% sure I've read my last Star Wars book, and it was I'll see the new movies whenever they come out, but I've spent a huge chunk of my life reading Star Wars stuff, and I think I'm probably okay to not read anymore. For a while.
Who's doing Mark Waid, Jason Aaron's doing one.
Yeah.
Jason Aaron's
sure
doing the main
really
Star
good.
Wars one.
I'm sure they'll be great, but I don't know. I don't know what I care.
That's fair.
You know?
I'm still buying the Brian Wood Star Wars. I don't read it.
There are things I intend to eventually read that I'm buying.
Yeah.
But
that's kind of what I'm doing right now. It came out this week, actually.
Okay, Brendan McCarthy has something in Dark Horse Presents. That's awesome. You ever read anything Brendan McCarthy's done?
No, but I've seen his stuff.
He did that Zosser of Zilk book, remember when I was reading it? Which turned out was a reprint from 2000 AD, which I wouldn't be surprised if that's where this stuff was from, too. I think he does most of his stuff there.
Is there any buddy cops?
Oh, I wish.
I wish, too. I wish Buddy Cop is in everything.
But Tyler Jenkins has a story in here, too. That's pretty cool. I don't think I've seen anything of his other than his Peter Panzerko stuff, right?
Yeah, that's all I've seen.
And it looks like he's writing it and drawing it. I like this new format of DHP as well. It's a little easier on the wallet. 48 pages for $5.
Yeah.
I had the first probably 20-some issues of the big 72-pagers or 80-pagers.
The ones that actually have, a flat spine. Yeah. They're like mini trades.
The problem with them was that, I don't know, for $5, if I like half the book, that seems pretty reasonable. It's 24 pages that I liked for $2.50. Mm-hmm. At 80 pages, there was almost never a time where I liked 80 of the pages.
Yeah.
I would still maybe like half of it. And sometimes they would give pages to creators who had a pedigree, and that's why they got pages. There was a lot of John Byrne stuff in there, and there wasn't one goddamn page of it that was legible. It was very much current John Byrne, where it's just not John Byrne, sorry, Neil Adams. What the fuck am I saying? I don't know what John Byrne stuff looks like now, but Neil Adams stuff is just completely a fucking mess now. He did this whole thing called Blood, and oh fuck, it was brutal. Anyway.
Those were $8, right?
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
Which,
well, that's a buck every
10
pages.
Yeah, it's not horrible, but
it's fine, but
it's
almost like... the size for the price doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
It's still I've got 20 page comics sitting beside my bed that I haven't read, let alone dig into this 80 page thing.
At $8 a month, I'm that's almost a trade. That's almost an Image first volume.
Yeah.
Once a month, there'll be at least one of them. This is probably a better chance that I'll want that. But anyway. Because then, worst case scenario, or best case, I'll find a story that I really like in it, and I'll want to get the collection of it. And then I will have bought it twice at a far too high price point, but whatever. So this new format looks better.
Mm-hmm.
The Massive is almost over, you guys. It's almost done. I can stop buying it soon. I just, because the issue 25 came out today, which was part one of the last six issues storyline. I'll say, oh, I can't
so
wait.
By my count, there's three more issues?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
give or take a few, right?
I did take like four math classes in university, so.
Is that
I'm
right?
I'm pretty sure I'm right.
You might be, I don't know. Have you guys ever read Grendel?
Nope.
Grendel is one of those huge blind spots I have. That's
no, the only one I have is Grendel Batman.
I may have read that, actually, yeah. But I've always liked Matt Wagner, and I've read some of his other stuff. Like I have the Mage collected editions upstairs, but Grendel's always the one that I've always felt like there's so much of it that I don't know where to start. And I've always put it off. Well, yeah, one day I'll get into Grendel, but...
What exactly is Grendel?
I don't know. I know there's different versions of him. I listened to like a giant interview with him on a podcast recently, and they are all huge Grendel fans, and I'm just like, I don't know what the fuck you guys are talking about, but Matt Wagner was cool. His Zorro run was excellent.
Yeah. Is he the one that did Lady Zorro?
He created her, yeah.
Yeah.
But Alex DeCamp, he's actually writing the Lady Zorro book right now. The first issue was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It very much feels like a continuation of the Wagner stuff, so I was happy about that.
Did your lights just flicker, or am I crazy?
They might have. It's been storming.
Well, it might have been a stroke. I don't know.
Yep.
Anyway, do you guys like Simon Roy?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
They're collecting this story he did in DHP called Tiger Lung that looks pretty cool. And this book here, it's cool. A lot of companies like IDW just started a whole new line for it, and Dark Horse and a few others have started putting out translations of Euro books, other than like Humanoids was the only company that I would... And even those you'd hardly see anywhere, you know?
No.
So it's nice that some of the other publishers are starting to do stuff. So this is one called Trilogy USA, which I guess is its first English language presentation of this book. I have another comic. I think it's called Africa. I don't know if it's the same two guys. I know for sure Herman does the art, or Herman, but I don't know if Yves H. is the...
Hermano?
Yeah, but it looks pretty cool. Like I remember the art in Africa being fucking gorgeous, so... That might be worth checking out.
Did you know that that name is Eve? Y-V-E-S?
Is it?
It's pronounced Eve.
Is that right?
I don't know why I know that. Or why I even saw it. Or why I'm saying it. Or why I... What?
I don't know why any of us are here, Ryan.
I never said that. I'm here because I enjoy the friendship. And
no, no. I mean like on this planet, bro.
Oh.
I know why you're here.
Yeah.
Because you enjoy the friendship with Conover. Of course.
Mm.
But, yeah. Okay,
and
this.
And I wanted a big goal.
This same month that Juan Ferrer was doing Aliens, that Prometheus comic,
mm-hmm.
he's also putting out the sequel to Colder. And Colder was one of my favorite books that year when it came out.
That was the one with the spooky cover.
With the
cover
with
the eye.
Well, look at the spooky cover of this one. The guy's face is all made up of hands and fingers and claws.
Well, that doesn't seem practical
spooky,
at all.
Spooky, right? Anyway.
Actually, it seems very
Colder
practical.
Colder is so good, so I'm very excited that it's going to be an ongoing, apparently. So that's cool.
Remember how I bought that Hack / Omnibu?
Yeah, volume Uno.
Yeah,
and all five of them were at the shop.
I saw that and I was like, holy shit, I did not realize that there was five of these. I thought that there would maybe be two.
No, there's five.
And then I was like, oh, like my bank account's going to be dry one day. Because this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do like I did with Fables, where it's like, oh, I'll buy one, and then I'll like read it, and then I'll buy the next one. No, I will buy them all at once. I spent $300 on Fables trades in one day.
Did you really?
Yep. When I got it was the year we went to the expo, because it was like the day before, and I got my tax return, so.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Nope. and now half of them, no clue where they are. I lent them
That's
out.
That's really annoying. Yeah.
And it's super annoying. Like, hate it.
Yep. I see Dark Horse is starting another new archival line, but it's slightly cheaper than most of their other archival lines, so that's nice. The Harvey Kurtzman's Jungle Book, part of the Essential Kurtzman line. And again, Harvey Kurtzman is another guy who has a lot of stuff that I haven't read that I want to see. And he's one of the guys who created Mad, right?
Yeah.
So this looks pretty cool, and it's got stuff from like R. Crumb and Pete Poplowski and Dennis Kitchen and Gilbert Shelton and of course Harvey Kurtzman, so that looks pretty cool. It's only $25.
That's a good deal.
Right?
Yep.
I haven't even heard of that book, but I'll probably get it at some point. I mean, Okay, and for the first time in a long time, there's a book coming out from DC. A new series starting from DC that I'm excited about.
I really hope it's...
There's two, but there's Gotham Academy. This looks like the most fun...
Who's doing
it? Written by Becky Cloonan and Brendan Fletcher, and art by Carl Kershaw, whom, if you've ever seen Carl Kershaw, he has a webcomic called The Abominable Charles Christopher.
I think I have seen him.
It's awesome. And he's awesome. And he did a Flash miniseries years back now that was fucking great. Kid Flash, I think. Doesn't matter who it was, but it was very good.
Is that what the, who the cover is there?
Yeah, it is, yeah. This looks like fun. Like, it's like weird, like, weird Gotham prep school with weird Gotham-y type teachers and stuff, but it just sounds like...
Would you just say that they're goth teachers?
Gotham.
Goth.
So it actually looks like DC. Well, let's try something fun that is aimed at an audience other than the Axe Body Spray crowd.
Which is me. No, which apparently is Rob.
Yeah, I don't care. Like, and DC is not going to give up until America loves Deathstroke as much as Deadpool, so they're putting another Deathstroke ongoing. I can't wait to see how many issues this one goes.
Who's writing it?
Tony Daniel, of course. Who the fuck else will be doing a Deathstroke
book? I give it 8.
You give it 8? I give it 8. Might be optimistic. And then this one is such a weird choice, and I have absolutely no confidence that it'll be good because it looks kind of New 52-y, but I'll at least try the first issue because I love the characters. They're doing a Clarion the Witch Boy ongoing with Anne Nocenti and Trevor McCarthy. Yeah, right? Isn't that, like, why?
See? Who?
You never heard of Clarion the Witch Boy? He's an old... I think he's a Ditko character?
Yeah, I know
that. Yeah, he's this old Steve Ditko character. I first discovered him because he's in the Grant Morrison Seven Soldiers book.
Oh.
And, and Fraser Irving did the art for that book, and it was great. And he's just this weird, like, underground witch magic character in the DCU. And this is his New 52 debut. But, of course, he's wearing a fucking t-shirt and jeans. And it kind of looks shitty, but...
He's like it's the witch teen.
This is going to be like Infinity Man, where I'm like, I'm sure this is going to be bad, but I'll buy the first issue because it's like... Maybe give DC the benefit of the doubt. They're trying something with an interesting character.
On the plus side, Dan DiDio's not writing this one.
It's true. So. I dropped Infinity Man after issue 2. Not good. There's a new Lobo ongoing, but it's not even cool Lobo. It's like it's like Nathan Fillion is Lobo. Like,
that strikes me odd that there was... Has there been a Lobo ongoing since the New 52?
No.
It strikes me as odd as that there wouldn't be.
There hasn't been a Lobo ongoing in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, he's had a couple minis, he's had a couple, like, two prestige format one-shots, but, like, I don't think there's been a Lobo ongoing since the 90s, dude.
Really?
I don't know, but...
It just seems weird that they wouldn't have done one
right? He's very New 52.
Yeah.
Except he isn't. The original Lobo, he's, like, this ridiculous, over-the-top,
like,
almost making
like a
fun
hunter,
of
kind of thing?
90s comics, but anyway.
Yeah.
They're also launching a Trinity of Sin comic, which I thought they already had several, but...
It's
the Pandora, Phantom Stranger, and Question team-up book. And I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show or not, but I hate the New 52 interpretations of Phantom Stranger and the Question, so fuck that.
But once again, it's not Dan DiDio writing it, so...
True. But now the other book I was saying I was actually excited for, though...
This is Batman.
It's not Batman, although I do like Batman. Okay, one other thing. This Star-Spangled War story is featuring G.I. Zombie. I bought the first issue. I haven't read it yet, but the covers are by Darwin Cook, and they're amazing. And the interior art isn't bad, but it couldn't be more different from Darwin Cook if it tried. These covers look super fun. The interior art is in no way fun at all. So
who would you compare it to?
Like a... If Alex Malev was 1% as talented as he is.
Ah.
Which, I'm not saying it's bad, I'm just saying it's similar to his style without being anywhere near as good as
him. So it's kind of like painted kind of thing?
Kind of, yeah. Weird. I think it would look better with heavier ink, but yeah. Oh, I know. I'm trying to get to the book I actually gave a shit about. I like Grayson, but that's not it. Batgirl, because I'm a teen girl. That looks so cool. And fun. And the art looks awesome.
I did notice that everybody was all pumped on the costume. It is a cool costume.
The costume is awesome, yeah. Cameron Stewart should redesign all costumes. Like, don't let Jim Lee design another costume ever as long as he lives. Let Cameron Stewart do it. Because that's a cool costume.
See, I don't care about the costume so much as the color scheme. I just like the color scheme.
I do, yeah.
Like, I mean, now, in fairness, bright yellow gloves and, like, yellow accessories, not your friend in the darkness. So not the most functional costume of all time. But it looked cool.
But
so.
She's not supposed to be in the darkness anymore. I thought, like, that's the whole point of the book, is that she's moved to like the hipster part of Gotham. So she's not going to be like hiding in the shadows fighting drug dealers anymore.
She's gonna
it's
going
to be more fun. And
it's
light.
All crime during the day.
Yeah.
She's going to be collecting mason jars.
Yeah. Do you guys get the impression that DC is desperately trying to make Harley Quinn their Deadpool?
Mm-hmm. And I can't think of anybody that's less interesting than Harley Quinn. Yeah, except for
Harley
like
Quinn
Paul Dini.
Is an awesome character. I just
Paul Dini. They could probably do it if they kept putting out books with her face on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not interesting
people.
Slash very popular. So.
Yeah. I feel I like Harley Quinn better than Deadpool. I have absolutely less than zero interest in Deadpool. Whereas Harley Quinn, at least I thought she was an awesome character prior to the New 52. The New 52 version of her does absolutely nothing for me.
Just quickly on Deadpool. The current run I buy because I like the writers. But B, there was some like leaked test footage.
No, I heard about that.
You didn't see it though,
no,
did you?
I don't care.
Did you see it?
Yep.
It looks really good. I would watch that.
But the thing is, to me, it was like, it was all CG.
Yeah.
So it was like, they made a Deadpool video game. Like, it's basically a Deadpool cutscene.
I think it was just like a test just to like show.
They did say it was like test footage. So, I mean, it wasn't from the video game, but it's like, it might as well have been. Like, it looks cool, but okay.
I cannot.
Ryan Reynolds' voice, but.
Even with people that like writing him. He's not even a character to me. He's like a flimsy premise on which to hang jokes. The only person I've ever seen actually
that's
do
pretty
a
much my existence
so. With Deadpool is Remender in his Uncanny X-Force run when he was actually a character. And a little bit Bendis did a little bit with him in All New X-Men.
Duggan and Pazane have done good with him. They did a lot.
The issues
with
I read were kind of funny.
But I
don't care about that.
In like that that whole arc with Declan Shelby, they do a lot with him, and it's good. And it's really not funny a lot of the time.
I won't find Deadpool funny ever, so. But I am clearly in the minority because Deadpool is in at least 10 books a month.
Mm-hmm.
And they all sell very well.
Deadpool, yeah.
They've kind of cooled down. He's only got like one book right now.
Hey, did you guys see...
No, he's got like six like miniseries though, right?
Oh yeah, Columbun always has...
Columbun always has a bunch, yeah.
Yeah.
And they just had like Deadpool versus X-Force and Deadpool this.
Okay. Yeah, Deadpool versus...
Did you guys see the Wonder Woman costume for the Man of Steel sequel?
Yeah, I don't mind it.
It looks exactly like how I expected the Wonder Woman costume in a Man of Steel sequel to look.
It makes sense for the movie.
Yeah. So, I mean...
Did you guys
I thought I was like, well, I mean, I wasn't going to watch it anyway, so this hasn't changed my mind.
Did you see the little, like... I know they've been cracking down on it, but they showed that little teaser at Comic-Con.
Like theater footage.
And
yeah.
It looks cool. Like, it's...
I don't care.
But it's, like, Batfleck in,
care.
Like, you know the armored bat suit from Dark Knight Returns?
I don't care.
He's in that, and he, like, shines the bat signal, and then all of a sudden, just, like, Superman's there, and his eyes are all red, and then they just, like, stare.
It's not gonna happen.
But it was cool. And I fucking don't care about Superman, and I like Batman. And it was
See,
cool.
But again, this is what always bothers me. People be like, I don't care about Superman. I think it looks good. Well, you are the last fucking person
now,
in the world whose opinion on Superman I want to hear then.
But I don't...
like,
I wouldn't say the movie looks good. I would say just seeing that
is
cool.
But it's
cool.
The same argument you hear for people who are like, oh, the new Star Trek movies are great. I don't even like Star Trek and I liked it. I'm like, well, then you fucking are the last person in the world whom
mm-hmm.
they should be appealing to. Why don't you have every other movie ever made?
But I'm also the first, like, because I'm that person.
Like, it's just so
I'm
stupid.
Also the first person in the world that they should make that movie for because then they'll make more money.
Because
every Star
Trek
now.
I understand why they're doing it. I'm just saying that, like...
You see, more money's good. Less money,
I
bad.
Guess.
Although, more
but
money,
just, like, the idea
more problems.
We need to make a Star Trek movie that appeals to people who don't like Star Trek. Why? Why don't you make a Star Trek?
It's already
movie
a pretty big franchise.
Who like Star Trek? Like,
it's weird that J.J. Abrams did that, and then now he's like, "I'm going to make the Star Wars movie that appeals to only Star Wars fans of like the."
Didn't he always say
that
he was a Star Wars
fan?
Yeah,
it's not the same because I feel like almost just about everybody likes Star Wars at least a little. And Star Trek is a harder sell for a lot of people.
Mostly
like,
because it's
people
worse.
Have always said, is it the Star Wars people or Star Trek people? No, there's everybody. And then there's Star Trek fans. Everybody likes Star Wars. Everybody watched it when they were kids over and over again. And if they say that they didn't, they're lying or boring.
I like Star Wars.
I like Star Wars, too.
Why do you hate Star Wars?
I don't.
Why do you hate fun?
I do not hate fun, sir. I buy Tiny Titans Return of the Treehouse, for crying out
loud. That is true. You like fun much more than I do.
I do. Fun is stupid, though.
I'm so fun.
Hey, we're in the DC section. I'm looking at Vertigo. Bodies number 4 solicited, so why not take this opportunity to talk about Bodies number 1, which I read today.
Hmm. How was it?
It's all right. It's kind of a cool idea. I think that, like all Vertigo miniseries, they'd probably be better as a graphic novel than as a miniseries, because the premise of the book is like there's a dead body found, and there's going to be a murder investigation. But it's an identical body in an identical pose found in 4 completely different time periods. So there's like the modern one, there's one in the 50 years in the future, there's one in like 1890, and there's one in 1940. And so it's a different style, different tone completely for each different time zone, time period, and a different artist for each one as well. The artist, by the way, who did the 1890 stuff, is fucking awesome.
That's actually a really cool idea.
It's a great idea. And
I
kind of
wish
I would
have bought it.
I'm not going to add it to my pull because I want to read it all in one go. So I'm going to stop buying it and buy the trade when it comes out, because it's a cool idea and it'll be a great graphic novel. But
it's a mini-series.
It's an 8-issue mini. So, and because it's only a 20-page Vertigo comic, that means that there are like 57 ads on every other page. So it's really frustrating to read.
But now, did it defy expectations?
No, my expectations were that I'd be annoyed with all the ads.
What book was that that it had like every second page was like Defy, whatever.
It could have been this one, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't it The Wake?
Dude, The Wake, this month.
Was it
the final issue of The Wake came out. It was fine. Like, The Wake is a good book. No one is surprised that the last issue of a Snyder, Sean Murphy book is good, right?
Yeah.
It looks great. It's really cool.
Lots of ads.
I'm way more interested in Sean Murphy's Tokyo whatever book.
Tokyo
with,
Ghost?
Yeah, with Remender. It sounds wicked. But there's a lot of ads in this book.
It's not as bad as it was that. I remember that one
month
was
bad,
like every right
side
page.
When you're
page.
In the last like 10 pages of your 10-issue epic, and every other page is a house ad, it really fucks up the flow of your comic. When I'm supposed to be like getting... like the last... 5 or 6 pages have an ad on every single page.
True.
It's really annoying.
Yeah.
So, I don't get it.
I liked the ending, though.
Yeah, it was fine.
It was okay.
It's a good book. I liked it a lot. It'll read probably... I still like the first half because it was like an undersea horror comic.
Mm-hmm.
And the second half was like a crazy sci-fi story.
Like a post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, and I'm a little burnt out on post-apocalypses.
I stopped reading it like 2 issues ago.
Yeah,
not because it was bad. It was just like
didn't care.
It did lose me.
It just lost me
half,
enough
yeah.
to be like,
yeah. Maybe if I had only kind of liked the first half, I would have liked the second half better. But I loved the first half.
Yeah,
it was like, yes, Snyder doing real horror again, and then the second half is in no way horror at all. Like it's not trying to be, but it totally isn't. So
speaking quickly of post-apocalyptic tales,
yeah.
Also, did you guys see the trailer for the new Mad Max?
Mad Mac? I haven't seen the trailer because I don't usually watch trailers for movies I was going to see.
Fair
enough. But I've heard it looks great.
It looks fantastic.
Do you like the original movies?
I have never seen the original movies. I had such a stunted childhood.
Apparently, it's weird to me because you of all people would really like that, but I find it so strange that I'm seeing all these people online getting super excited about a new Mad Max movie when they've never seen any of the originals. Like, why are you excited about this then? Like, I don't know. I feel like unless you are a fan of the original Mad Max, what is there to attract you in the new one?
Tom Hardy?
I guess.
And his butt?
I don't know. I think people...
he's a cutie patootie.
Like, San Diego hype really like fucks with people's heads.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
People who have never heard of Mad Max.
But, see, I'm...
they released the trailer! Like,
it's like,
wow!
Yeah, what? Because, honestly,
I just think it was a good trailer.
Because my favorite modern Mad Max movie was called Doomsday. Did you ever see Doomsday?
That's,
Doomsday was this
Neil
Marshall
right?
movie. And it's like 4 movies in one, though. Because he was like, I want to make like a movie that's kind of like kind of like Resident Evil, but then also have parts of it that are kind of like Mad Max, and then parts of it that are kind of like Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court. And then he's like, I'll just make one movie and put them all together. And it's so entertaining. Ronan Mitra.
I was just going to say, the girl from Ali G in the House.
The girl who got her start of her career by being the advertisement model for Lara Croft.
And also is naked in that movie with Kevin Bacon where he's invisible.
Hollow Man. Which is a decent movie, but not as good as the original Invisible Man, which is a surprisingly, well, surprisingly not to me, but to some people, I think would be surprised how well it holds up for a movie from the 30s. She was also on Boston Legal.
Yay! Is that Shatner?
Yeah, Shatner and Spader. It was a good show.
Speeder.
Did you want to talk about a book, or should we keep going in the catalog?
I don't know.
You sound so enthusiastic.
You're the host. I have two other books that weren't my favorite that I don't know what to say about, because I don't really... I was so tired when I read them, I don't know if I understood anything.
Confidence is the hallmark of quality.
And wait, were either of them your favorite?
One of them was, the top one.
Okay.
So don't talk.
So I have one book that...
Well, let's do IDW first then.
Alright.
This is some cool stuff. The first one being...
Let's do IDW.
This one actually isn't IDW. Graffiti Designs has one thing in previous this one, which I guess is tagged on to the end of DC, because I think it's actually a DC property, but Frank Miller, it's called a gallery edition of Ronin. It's just an artist edition, but all the different companies have different names for them. And these ones are actually... Looks like they don't... It's almost like they're not bound. Like, it's... Well, maybe it's $200 for the gallery edition of Ronin. Do you guys ever read Ronin?
No.
I don't know if it was before or after Sin City, but it was some of Frank Miller's best looking stuff anyway. It's pretty cool.
Speaking of artist editions, I saw a bunch of people losing their minds over the Steranko one. The Jim Steranko artist edition.
Sounds pretty cool, cool to see. And they announced the new Kirby one, didn't they?
Yeah, Miracle Man.
Yeah. Nice.
And
they should do a Commandy.
I don't remember what the hell else they announced.
They should do Commandy.
Like, Commandy.
Oh, it's the Goon.
They're doing
the Goon and Miracle Man. Yeah.
Miracle Man. Mr. Miracle. Mr. Miracle, yeah. You mean them. The original writer is IDW.
He's not sad enough on that.
Ninja Turtles Ghostbusters crossover. Yep, that's the thing that's happening. I'm still buying the Ninja Turtles book. It's really good.
I just never got into Ninja Turtles.
You're Never. The one person between the ages of 15
yep.
and 30.
I have
the only person who's like, eh.
I had pictures of me as like maybe 4 or 5 years old, dressed up, actually like 2 Halloweens in a row, dressed up as a Ninja Turtle. I was always Raphael.
Well, I guess you were into the Ninja Turtles a little bit there.
There was a point where that's like the only costume you could buy those.
That's true.
Well, and it was the ones where like my mom would buy like the sewing kit for it, and it like you just had to buy the fabric, and it showed you how to make it. And also,
that's
I had Ninja Turtles sheets. They went right over my plastic sheets. This
I
was like 3 years
ago.
Oh, yeah, Joey, they do make those. But I never remember ever liking them. Like, it's really.
Oh, well, I remember loving Ninja Turtles, but I also remember my favorite Ninja Turtles thing being the coming out of their shells Radio City Music Hall concert tour.
That's when they were the truest.
Yeah, I feel like that was the closest
was the
to Eastman and Laird's vision.
Yeah,
coming out of a shell.
I just like go Ninja, go Ninja, go. Hey, that was Lock and Key, a page back for the record.
Yeah, it's the...
it's a trade.
The paperback version of Volume 6. Actually,
really cool.
The hardcover collection of all of Rodriguez's covers came out this week.
I saw that, and I thought about it, and then I said no.
So did I, and I was like, what am I doing? I don't need that.
I thought about it, and I was like, I think they're all in the fucking hardcover.
It seems like a weird thing to buy.
Yeah.
I made this joke when I first looked at the previews last week, but Steve Niles has a new book coming out from IDW called The October Faction. And I would just say, Steve Niles is really, really good at starting new series.
Because that's all he does?
I would like one or two of them to finish every once in a while. Anyway. This actually looks pretty cool. Actually, the cover, I don't know, it looks a lot like Mystery Society in a weird way. Like, Adam's Family meets Mystery Society, but I like both of those things, so I'd probably pick it up. I've actually never read anything from Steve Niles that I didn't at least like.
I've never read anything from Steve Niles.
Really?
No, I don't think so.
Good horror stuff. That's all he does. There's a Joe Kubert
a
Enemy Ace artist edition. That'd be cool.
That would be good.
Kubert's War Books were great.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out now. Okay. Doyle from The Misfits is on the cover of Alan Moore's Trilogy Special One-Shot for Halloween.
Like, way to sell it.
It also says creature double feature on the cover. I don't know. On the one hand, I would say they know their audience. Like,
yeah.
If you're buying that comic, it's because you know what it is. And, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing appeals to you.
Kind of like, what was that that book that came out that was like co-written by Earth Crisis? Like the militant straight-edge vegan band?
Was that Liberator? The book from Black Mask.
Yeah. And it was like co-written by like.
Well,
members
that
of
doesn't
Christ.
Surprise me because like the whole point of the book Liberator was mm-hmm. about that, and
yeah.
one of the principal owners of Black Mask is Brett Gurewitz from Bad Religion.
Bad Religion, yeah.
And Stephen Hells.
It just was strange.
I think it's strange that Stephen Hells is putting all these books out from other publishers when he owns one.
Like, yeah.
They pay better.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
It's just like
yeah.
you clearly aren't.
Got to feed the kids, you know.
He has a dog. I think.
Got to make that scratch.
Alright.
That's Skrilla. I almost said that Skrillex, and I was like, no, that's not right. I don't like that guy.
Well, why don't I talk about two more books? No, we won't.
Hi.
So, speaking of horror comics, and from publishers that.
It's the font from the Cheers logo. Is it?
I don't think so.
The R kind of looks like the two.
Anyway, Caliban number 5. From Avatar Comics, Garth Ennis and Facundo Percio's scary alien monsters in space. Kind of their riff on Alien a little bit, but it's been pretty good. This issue sort of gives you all the backstory, and you figure out what exactly is that's going on. It's actually a really well-done book, and it is very tame by Garth Ennis standards. Like, there's a bit of violence, but nothing that would be out of place in... Like, the movie Alien is far more intense and graphic than this comic. Because so, I was a little hesitant to pick up an Ennis book from Avatar. Because on Avatar, it's just like he can do whatever the fuck he wants. And I'm not squeamish, but sometimes I find he goes overboard just for the sake of doing so. You know?
Yeah.
And yeah. I love gore, but sometimes his gore... on Avatar isn't with spectacular artists because I don't imagine they pay as well as Marvel and DC.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's actually pretty cool, and so it's very good for horror in space. If you want to read some horror in space, you can. And this, okay, so I've talked about the auteur before on the show, Rick Spears, James Callahan, and Luigi Anderson from Oni Press.
Your favorite book.
It's so good. Dude, Ryan, you'd like this comic as well because... there's some really hilarious, crazy Hunter S. Thompson type shit in here. But it also, at the end of it, when it all comes down to it, it ends up just being kind of a sweet romance. Like, the last way I expected this book to end. Yeah.
Oh,
I'm hoping they do another volume, but the last way I expected this book to end was how it ended. Like, it ended with me going, aww. Because this book has been fucking insane. Like,
I have to get a trade in the most
hilarious way. Like, this is one of the funniest comics I've read in a long time about this like schlock maker desperately trying to make his next picture and trying to impress a girl while doing it, but he's just this like horrible sleaze guy, and he ends up hiring it and getting, he ends up becoming like a lawyer so that he can get this horrific serial murder monster off. So he can become a consultant on his murder film. And then the murderer starts killing real people in the movie. And there's this whole sequence in this one where his sidekick makes up this weird acid concoction with this venom from deadly snakes. So there's this insane trip sequence where everyone's turning inside out, turning into monsters and bleeding out of their eyes because the guy gets the venom mixed up and it's got a blood thinner in it. So all their blood is leaking out through the holes in their head. But it's... oh, it's funny. There was, I can find the one sequence that made me laugh out loud. And I think it was issue 3 where I ended up posting a bunch of... I remember I texted Ryan a bunch of the panels because they made me laugh so hard. But there was a couple in this one, too, that made me laugh so hard. Oh, I wish I could find them. Talk about something else while I look for it.
So you watched the Jays game? They won.
Okay, yeah, here.
Sack fly in the
okay,
top of
so
the
there's this weird slime monster during the acid sequence after the murderer kills a cop with a machete, and he goes, "Hey, look, that dead girl's totally got a boner." A boner? And then there's just this four or three panels where the guy's like, "Well, now that's a healthy member. How did you miss that, Dr. Love? Her pulse or her penis? Both!" And then she sits up yawning and goes, "Oh, I'm not a real doctor." It's like, those three panels just killed me. Almost as much as the bat in the issue 3.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The fuck, was it a bat or a bird? Or something? I was like, how the fuck did this thing get in here? So hard reading that. And the first opening splash of the first of issue 3 is just these, like, two boobs.
Yeah, I do remember
it's
that.
It's a really funny comic.
Boobs.
But it has, the ending's so sweet. Like, I never in a million years thought I'd get to the end of the auteur and go, "Aw, that's cute." But it was. So yeah, I definitely recommend finding a trade of that. Use guys.
Does it get your ARF seal of approval?
It gets my ARF seal of approval.
There we go.
It's waiting. ARF. It's waiting for me at the store.
Yeah.
I'll grab a trade when it comes out.
Yeah, it's worth it. I trade it. Speaking of things that are worth it and worth checking out, what a segue back into the meat, Marshall. The meat.
Speaking of George Bush falling, segue.
We weren't, but thank you.
Yeah.
Speaking of Scott Snyder doing horror, Witches number one from Snyder and Jock.
Was this like a weird preview? Like
they put like 6 or 8, 7 pages of preview art into this.
Yeah, and
I don't think it's the book though. Like on the like side, it says it's own story.
Oh, I should read it then.
I was also trying to figure out
I always skip preview pages.
Is that Jock who drew it?
Yeah,
that is.
That looks so different from what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I assumed it was someone else just for standalone preview
sure
thing.
Looks like Jock to me, but...
yeah, it didn't say anybody anywhere else.
But again, like, especially these pages, this starts to look like Jock.
Yeah.
But it's been... I guess the last few interiors we saw him do was that Wolverine thing, which was really stylized and horrible, but it looked nice.
And then he did Snapshot.
Oh, yeah, Snapshot was good.
I don't think I ever finished it.
Did you ever read The Losers?
Nope.
He did that. The movie's fun.
Your mom love it?
Yeah.
My mom was watching it the one day, and then I went, "Oh, he just
like it." You'd like it. Chris Evans
Chris
in that
Evans,
movie is
yeah.
so funny when he pops out and shoots a guy and goes, "I got a crossbow, bitches." <They're allowed laughs>
I like Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Because he's so good looking, guys.
reunited at last, Alex Grecian and Riley Rosmo.
This looks cool too. This looks so cool.
Yeah,
I'm super.
Alex Grecian's a really good writer. I was going to say Riley told me this, but I think he told a bunch of people. I happened to be in the room when he was telling the story. I'm not trying to make it sound like I know him personally. But,
I mean, he is here.
Yeah, he's in the fridge.
He just hangs.
Living in the fridge. But apparently, they were going to do more comics together, and then Alex accidentally became a best-selling novelist because he's written these. Murder mysteries called The Yard and something else, but it's like these murder mysteries set in Scotland Yard around the time of Jack the Ripper, I think. Apparently they're really good too, from what I've heard, but he became like a best-selling novelist, so his return to comics was somewhat delayed, but it looks pretty cool.
This is gonna sound like a weird not compliment, because it's really not. It's well, it kind of is on this book, but this okay. I don't even know what I was gonna. This is the first Rosmo book in a long time where I'm actually interested in the story. Is that a weird thing to say?
Yeah, but that's fine.
Because
I
think like that whole kind of legend of Rasputin is really neat.
This certainly looks like it's more grounded and it's an easier hook than like say Drumheller.
Yeah, which is just an acid trip on acid.
Does it cancel itself out?
No.
And it ends up being like 12 Angry Men. It's just really straightforward.
Sounds like you were writing copy for it.
And I don't remember where I saw this joke.
Perfect.
But it was some like one panel gag strip from some comic of, and it says Merlin watches Memento, and at the bottom it's him sitting there and goes, "Well, that was straightforward." I was like, that is the best joke I have ever heard.
Hey, you want to know what other movie I had never seen?
Memento?
Yeah.
I don't know if you'd like Memento. It's really good, but it's also like experimental and different and clever. You don't like any of those things.
No, I really don't.
No, I mean, and that's cool.
I mean, my favorite movie for like a year and a half was G.I. Joe, Rise of the Cobra. So
I liked that movie. It was fun.
No, not Rise of the Cobra. What was the second one called?
Retaliation.
There we go.
Yeah. So you should fucking know. It was your favorite movie.
I know. I call it the Rock one.
So Josh Williamson is starting a third ongoing series with Image Comics.
He's added to Ghosted
and Nailbiter called Birthright, which it looks like a cool... It's from Skybound, and it looks like a fun, like, fantasy adventure comic.
I think all his books are Skybound, aren't they?
Probably. I think... It seems to me that, like, when you work at Image and you get accepted into one of their imprints, like, that's where you always end up pitching first. So it seems like the guys who were at Skybound, because I think Skybound is Valentino's imprint, I think.
No, that's Kirkman.
Yeah, Skybound's Kirkman,
is it?
I think,
Which one's Valentino's?
Shadowline.
Shadowline, okay, great. Skybound is Kirkman's. That's interesting, man. I don't know. Cool, well, anyway, it looks good. Joshua Hill Fialkoff has a book called Punks, the Comic. I don't know what it is, but I guess it's a comedy series that he had done before that I'd never heard of, but it looks pretty cool. It looks
wacky.
Wacky, and the art's weird, and I like it.
There's a man in a suit, but his head is a dog.
Yeah.
It's... Wow.
So, I'll check it out.
It is pretty punk. I think this looks neat.
I like the art. I don't know who... I've never heard of Jorge Corona, but the art's really good. It's called Goners by Jacob Simhan. I mean, it's another, like... Looks like somebody investigating paranormal horrors or something, but it looks really entertaining and fun.
I really like that artwork.
Me too, yeah. Reminds me a bit of Nick, actually. That style, anyway. Those, like, really exaggerated cartoony poses and lines and stuff. I dig it. And it seems like every October, Image does, like, one of those weekly horror series. This one's called Cutter. So in 4 weeks, you get the full thing. The last one they did was... that one last year was Bushido, I think, the vampires in feudal Japan.
Which wasn't great.
But this one looks kind of cool.
Looks spooky.
Yeah, it does.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? Like the covers? The succubus from VHS.
Oh, yeah.
Still scares me almost 2 years later. I have never rewatched it, so I never will. Fuck.
I've watched it quite a few times. Ugh. Big fan.
I'll watch the other four shorts. Over and over, but
yeah.
I never saw VHS 2. Are they doing a third one this Halloween?
They are. It's called VHS Viral or something.
VHS on Blu-ray.
Yeah. The second one I didn't like as much as the first one.
Yeah.
Although a lot of people I talked to said the opposite, but I thought the first one felt more raw and interesting, and the second one had some good shorts, but it was too polished. I thought the beauty of VHS was how unpolished it was.
We should watch the second one one day because I've never seen it. And I will not watch it alone, just in case.
Wes Craig is putting out a collection. I have nothing to say to that. Of shorter stories he's done. Wes Craig is doing Deadly Class. Looks pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Wes Craig's art is really cool, so... Here you go. Oh, and they're putting out Casanova, the complete Luxuria edition from Image now, so...
Cool, I can finally
You can finally
those.
Read it. I don't know if you'll like it, but... Because, like, you want to talk about a book that's not easy to sit through or straightforward...
Yeah, but...
But it is...
it's Matt Fraction, yeah, so Fraction, I'll probably be okay. For some reason, I understand his, like, weirder stuff better than I do anybody else's. I don't know.
I'm just trying to see what $10 trades they've got coming out this time around.
Is that $10?
No, minimum wage is $15, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's also, like, not a book that they're trying to get new readers on. Like, the readership on minimum wage is pretty much what it has been forever and will always be.
Yeah.
So the people who buy that are already fans. But I think Nailbiter Volume 1 is a $10 trade.
Worth it.
Yeah.
And we're only, what, like 4 issues in?
Three or four. Yeah. It's a good book, though. Yeah, I like it, too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's it for new stuff from Image. The cover for Fade Out Number 3 is awesome.
I need to put that on my fourth before I forget.
Yeah, you do.
Are you getting that cool oversized one? Or
I'm getting both.
Are you?
Yeah.
That oversized one looks really neat.
Yeah.
Really just neato.
I just love that whole thing. Are you guys going to read Roche Limit? Michael Marici and Vipin Malhotra?
Oh, I
I heard that they're going to do. They're going to come down and do a signing.
Spoilers. They're not spoilers.
I don't know if that's going to announce, but no one listens to the show anyway.
Yeah, fucking worry
about
it. Fair enough. I just like. Chong Zippy. There was a story in
the National Post.
Did you see it?
Did you see that today?
No.
Because he, Chip Zdarsky, works for the National Post, so somebody else on the staff just wrote an article about how he won an award, but the award was all, the whole article was just like Steve Williams annoys entire like staff and co-workers of National Post with his stupid comic.
And it's like,
it's really funny.
It's like the book Sex Criminals, which landed on Time's must read list of 2013, which he reminds us of at least once a week.
He's like daily updating emails to everyone on staff.
It
was a very funny.
It popped up twice, like once after another on my Twitter feed. One from Matt Fraction retweeted it, and then another person who is like a hockey analytics blogger retweeted it. And I was like, what? That's the weirdest thing ever, because he's like a lawyer and stuff. Like, he doesn't tweet about comic books.
Is there anything in previews, Marvel previews, anyone wants to talk about?
Jeez, I don't know. I did notice that the Axis logo is the same upside down.
Yeah. It says Sixes.
It still says Sixes.
God damn it.
I like how they have... They'll have, like, the Captain America. It's further in here.
Oh.
They have the... on the
Who is the new Cap?
Who's the new Cap? And then it's... And then they have...
Yeah, like, right there.
There's the actual one.
The new Cap they've...
Yeah, it's...
it's
later on, like, yeah, it's this one.
It is Falcon, yeah.
That's
cool.
I don't really think I'm going to be on board with Axis, although there is a Hobgoblin series.
I don't think I will either, just because I haven't been reading... I don't think, like, if you haven't been reading Uncanny Avengers from the start, I can't imagine Axis meaning anything to me, because it's just, it's what we've been building to that. So it'd be like reading Secret Invasion if you'd never read any of Bendis' New Avengers.
Which I might have. There's a Nightcrawler ongoing.
Yeah, Chris Claremont's writing it.
Yeah.
And Todd Knock, I think, does the art.
Ooh, I'm going to get this. Winter Soldier.
Oh, this Todd Mercury.
And which is weird, because I hated that Marvel Knights Spider-Man.
Which is so weird, because it was beautiful.
I thought it looked pretty. I had no idea what the hell was going on. It was like that White Suits, where I thought it looked nice. I just had no idea what happened.
I like
White
Suits.
Yeah, it was way better. But yeah, I'm going to be into that, because it's Bucky Barnes in space, is it not? Something like that. It's weird that Deathlok's getting a series.
Well, it's because he's on that TV show, right?
Yeah, but it...
Deathlok is another
That's
character
why he kind
like
of
Deadpool.
Looks like the guy from the show, too.
Yeah.
Deathlok is like Deadpool. He's a character that I've never given a shit about.
I didn't even know him before the show. So.
He just screams 90s comics to me.
With a name
Marvel.
Like Deathlok.
Deathlok.
There's a Spider-Man Miss Marvel team-up.
That's pretty cool. There's a book coming out from Alternative Comics called A City of Whiskey and Fire One-Shot by Daniel Lanz and art by Noah Van Sciver that looks really good that I think you should pick up.
We'll just alternate. Superior Foes of Spider-Man, number 16. And my first thought is always, wow, it's not canceled. And then on the bottom, still not canceled. Because every solicit, they always go, we're
still not
canceled.
I think no one is more surprised than the creators of Superior Foes of Spider-Man that they're still doing that book.
And, like, it's been so unfortunate because they've, like, had so many delays and it's such a good book. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's been, like, you'll get an issue with, like, Steve Lieber, and then, like, 2 months later you'll get an issue with, like, fill-in artist that has nothing to do with anything, and then 2 months after that you'll finally get the next, like, Steve Lieber issue. And that's what... And then they're always, like... Remember when we used to do this book?
Are you still reading Afterlife of Archie?
Yep.
Are you going to be getting the Sabrina book?
Probably not.
It looks pretty cool. I mean, Afterlife of Archie was so good that I have to trust that Roberto Aguirre Sarcasa can do another awesome horror book with Archie characters.
Yeah, based on the last issue of Afterlife with Archie.
Cthulhu!
But I don't know.
Like, how cool
is
that?
Is that like the start of the Sabrina story? Like,
you know,
is
I don't,
like,
I don't
is
think
this,
so.
No,
I think,
the
yeah.
Sabrina book, I think, takes place
it's like
in the 50s or something.
Yeah.
Because she's timeless, because she's a witch. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty cool. It's crazy to me that no one thought of doing that. At the same time, it's like, I can't believe no one has thought of that, of doing that book yet. And at the same time, I can't believe someone thought of doing that book.
Yeah.
It seems so obvious once you read it.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone pitches it to you, you're like, so it's funny.
It's just
because
it's Archie,
because
it was never
Yeah.
No, you would never do something like
even
that.
Even the serious Archie comics aren't serious.
Yeah.
You know, like...
They still at least are drawn in the Archie style.
Yeah.
I was so close to buying an Archie and Jughead digest today.
Every time I fly anywhere, I buy as many Archie digests in the airport as I can get.
Ooh, there's a...
They're excellent plane flights.
Men of Wraith by Jason Aaron and Ron Garney.
Somebody other than Icon? Bendis is putting out a book from Icon?
Wow.
On Painkiller Jane.
Yeah.
I listened to an interview with Brubaker recently talking about Icon and why he's at Image now, just because it's the deal at Image is so much better.
Oh, really?
The only reason he said that for them to have that thing at Icon is for guys who are on exclusive Marvel contracts. But, anyway.
Oh, $125 for that Star
but,
Wars
Jason Aaron obviously isn't. So that's weird.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. You know what I think it might be? It might be like Ron Garney might be on an exclusive tomorrow then.
Hmm.
That would make more sense. Like, they want to do this book, but he can't publish something else out of Marvel, so...
I like
just,
Ron Garney.
I love Ron Garney.
Ron Garney
he's
did
fantastic.
Had that Thor run with Jason Aaron, and it was really
good. And he did a really good... He did a lot of Wolverine. He did a story called Get Mystique that I really liked.
Didn't he do... He did some, like...
I don't know.
I want to say he did, like, an old Ultimate series. Fantastic Four, maybe?
Maybe.
And it was good.
There's been a lot of... Boom Studios has become a publisher that's almost worth checking out all their first issues as well, because it's some of the cool stuff they're putting out.
They're quite booming.
There's a Sleepy Hollow book, but I think it's actually a tie-in to the TV series that I've never watched. Yeah, it is, so, okay. But then there's Mimetic, which is a new creator-owned miniseries from James Tynion, whose The Woods is really good. So that might be worth reading.
Little three issues.
Having a look-see, a little look-see-loo. Paul Jenkins and Ramon Box are doing a book called Fiction Squad that looks super fun and weird and quirky and funny. Fans of Fables will find a lot to love. You're a fan of Fables.
I am! I was so zoned out there for a second.
It's all good.
I had a rough day at work.
This book. I'm all about this.
The Fraggle Rock book.
The Kate Leth Fraggle Rock book.
Yeah.
It looks awesome. I like Kate Leth. I love the Fraggles. I'm on board. And this. Okay. Roger Langridge is doing the script and the art for this book called The Musical Monsters of Turkey Hollow. It's an OGN based on the script for an unproduced television special that Jim Henson was going to do.
Yeah, I'm into that. I like
right?
Roger Langridge. So.
I love Roger Langridge. And I've been wondering what he'd been up to, and now we know.
Drawing this.
Drawing this weird thing. I'm also going to get Teen Dog, I think. Teen Dog,
cool.
It looks awesome. Dog with skateboard. And just about everything from Boombox has been outstanding. Like, Lumberjanes is probably my favorite comic right now. I just like books aimed at tween girls. What can I say? I don't know.
Hey, my brother's reading Divergent, so maybe you guys
really?
Can hang out. Yes.
Hang out, yeah. Uncle Grandpa. I know it's an animated series. I know nothing about it, but all the other Boombox animated series books are fantastic. And holy shit, this guy's name is Uncle Grandpa. That's
I was
going to
say, I know one thing about him, this show.
It's
He's
amazing.
An uncle
and also
a grandpa.
Yeah.
How weird would it be if he wasn't?
Either of those things?
Yeah, he was just like, he was like an
weird.
Aunt.
Ryan, you should be reading Amazing World of Gumball.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny. The first issue, I've never seen the show. I just bought it because it was Boombox, and I was like, yeah. And also, I Tyson Hess.
It's Kaboom.
It is fucking. Oh yeah, I guess not Boombox. It's Kaboom, but it's really funny.
Maybe
now I'm watching the cartoon as well. Same with Bee and Puppy Cat. That book is awesome.
I
Bravest
really
Warriors. I jumped back on Bravest Warriors now with Kate Leth writing it, and it's really good.
Is Bee and Puppy Cat a show too?
It was like there's been one episode of it on Cartoon Hangover, the same YouTube channel where they do Bravest Warriors.
Yeah.
But it's becoming its own series now. So the series hasn't started yet, but you can watch the 10-minute short film on Cartoon Hangover, and it's awesome and one of the weirdest things I've ever seen, but I just fucking adored it. But I read the comic before I saw the short. I wish I'd seen the short first because it kind of explains the premise a bit better, but oh, okay, Comics Tribe is soliciting issue 4 of a book called And Then Emily Was Gone. Today, I read issue 1.
I'll give you that back.
Thank you. It came out today, and I bought it And it's by John Lees and Ian Lurie and Megan Wilson and Colin Bell. And the cover I bought was by Riley Rosmo. It's a pretty sweet cover.
It's spooky.
Yeah, but I really actually like Ian Lurie's art on the inside. Like, it's... I'm not sure how to describe it. It's almost like Dash Shaw plus Nick Pitaro plus Shaky Kane. Like, those kind of, like, weird alt comics guys who, you know, are never going to draw a mainstream book, but you don't really want them to draw Spider-Man. You just want them to draw this weird shit. But this page, when you first see this monster, Bonnie Shaw, I guess is the name of the monster that takes away people in this universe, super creepy looking.
Looks like a weird scarecrow with its pants pulled up.
I mean, that's him on the front cover, too. Like,
yeah.
Looks cool.
Yeah,
anyway,
his pants are.
It's a cool little mystery. It's definitely... The art style is quirky. The writing style is also sort of quirky. And I don't want to say disjointed because that sounds like a criticism, but it's not, like, super straightforward, but it's, I think, intentionally so, because just looking at the book, like, it's a weird book. And it's written weird, and it's drawn weird, and I kind of like it. I haven't really read much from Comics Tribe. I think I read the first couple issues of, like, The Red 10 and Scam, but they had superheroes in them, and superheroes, even from Marvel and DC,
it's hard to
do
a new one.
Like, yeah, it's not that they don't do it for me, it's that I've been reading them for 20 years.
No.
You know?
I haven't.
I'm a little sick of superheroes, so
fair
now,
enough. Fair enough.
It's very rare that I buy a superhero book just because of the character. Like, it's usually because so-and-so is writing it or drawing it that I'll look at it. But even then, I don't usually read them more than once.
See, I think I buy so many superhero books because I just want to be somebody else.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with superhero books. Like, there's lots of really great ones. The ones I'm more interested in reading now are, like, older Marvel ones from the 60s and 70s, but there's nothing wrong with them. I'm just bored of them.
I've started re-listening to the Marvel The Untold Story.
Book. That book. I have the book. I haven't read it yet.
I didn't read it. I got the
audiobook. Yeah.
The audiobook of it. So I'm just at the beginning of the 70s section of it. But it's really good for, like, kickstarting your interest in, like, especially those stories. When it gets into the newer stuff, it's about the same as my interest level now, you know, so... But yeah, back then, just, like, reading or hearing about the stories behind them doing it is just, like, infinitely more interesting.
Different time in making comics, and plus, the more recent stuff we were there for, and, like, we've heard about it.
Yeah.
And they've come out in an era where we have, like, unparalleled access to the creators, and 85 different podcasts will interview Bendis before his book comes out, so you've heard every possible anecdote you could possibly.
Well, and anything that's, like, big that's going to happen, they promote it before it happens because they want, like, mainstream news to know that
something's
Captain America's
happening.
Black and Thor's going to be a woman and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So it's,
it used to be Thor would be a frog and you wouldn't know until you read the issue.
Yeah, you're like, what's
and
up
Captain
with this character?
Was black and. That's it.
You know, two other... I listened to the audiobook of Super Gods, the Grant Morrison book, which is an excellent book, and he talks a lot about the 70s, especially the cosmic stuff from Marvel, because he was way into, like, all the Starlin, like, the Adam Warlock stuff, and I was like, God, I need to read some of this. And then the other book that I recommend to people who aren't even comics fans, because it's just, like, a fascinating cultural history, is The 10-Cent Plague by David Haidu, I think his name is, and it's the whole... It's just the history of, like, when comics were the scapegoat for juvenile delinquency. Every form of mass media has been blamed at one point or another for the decline of society. Everything from, like, the novel to television to rock and roll to video games now. But
to
in the 50s,
like,
it was comics.
Podcasts.
And so it's the history of that and of, like, the downfall of EC Comics, the introduction of the Comics Code, the Wortham book, and all that kind of shit. And it's, like, not only is it super fascinating if you're at all interested in Golden Age comic books, but it's also, like, a really interesting snapshot of, like, specifically American culture in that era.
I want to get that.
E-learning?
No.
The CCA.
I want to get that William Gaines shirt down at the bottom too.
Gaines was right.
Yeah.
I think Bill Gaines is awesome. Not least of my reasons for thinking that is that he looks like Jerry Garcia.
I was gonna say, like, the guy who's in Hollywood Squares, Bruce Valanche.
Bill Gaines was the publisher of EC Comics. And
not Bruce Lynch.
His story is interesting, too. On the first season of Tales from the Crypt, the HBO TV series, which was great. God, I missed that show. There's a documentary on one of the discs of, like, the history of the comics.
It's on YouTube, too.
Is it on YouTube?
Yeah.
You should watch it. It's really good. That's such a... Not, to this day, a lot of people hold up those, like, 5 or 6 years when DC was doing their new wave. I think it might even be less than that. But, like, their new trend books
mm-hmm.
is, like, the best run of quality in the history of comic books.
Yeah. What years was that?
Early to mid-50s.
Okay.
You know, and then the CCA ran EC. What's crazy about the Comics Code Authority is that it wasn't, like, mandated by government or any regulatory body. It was created by a bunch of comics publishers
mm-hmm.
specifically for the purpose of driving EC Comics out of business. Because they were outselling them like crazy. So they formed the Comics Code and took advantage of this public fervor about saving the kids from scary comic books. And you couldn't, and they had these arbitrary rules for things you couldn't have. And the code was insane.
Mm-hmm.
But like the reason they hamstrung the entire comic book industry, from which they never really truly recovered, like that was back when books were selling a million
yeah.
copies off a newsstand.
Yeah.
And not to speculators, people were reading them. And they hamstrung their entire industry just so that they could run Bill Gaines out of business. And then Bill Gaines went, fine, fuck you, I'll put out magazines and started mad. And, yeah, but it's unbelievable, that story. But you gotta believe it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's crazy to me that there's an audience to bring back all the old Chaos Comics characters, but I guess somebody has nostalgia for everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Like, I... was by the time I got into comics, Chaos was not really a thing, so I never read Evil Ernie or what the fuck are all the other ones? There was a bunch.
Bad Bart.
Bad Bart.
Mean Mel. I don't know.
Bad Bart and Mean Mel ride again. That's the name of this episode.
They had a thing they liked to do.
Chaos, Bad Kitty. Yeah,
pretty
Chaos,
much.
The Chosen,
like,
yeah.
Not much worse than Bad Bart.
Chastity, Purgatory with an I.
Like, why don't they just name one fucking? Like,
Fucky, Fucky the Devil Clown. That honestly would be like a. That would be a top seller from Chaos.
I would read that.
Fucky the Devil Clown. And the front cover is just him like with an axe. It's two panels. First panel is him with like an auger drilling a hole in someone's head, and then the second panel is him fucking the head hole. And he's waving to the audience, but he's fucking the head hole while waving to the audience, and he's on water skis.
Yep.
Oh my god, did you just write a comic book?
I think I might have.
I think that
issue 2
of
Midnight Feature is going to feature Fucky, what do we call it?
Fucky
the Devil Clown?
Yeah.
The Devil Clown.
I get a creator credit, and that's all I want. I don't want to do anything.
Whatever. Bill Finger doesn't get one on Batman. He did all the work. You're not getting one on Fucky the Devil Clown.
Bill Finger should have lawyered up.
Bill Finger got fingered. Should have lawyered up.
Bill,
1939. I'm going to lawyer up. Bob Kane is a dickhead.
Isn't like Bob Kane one of the most notoriously like awful people in comics?
I never
like,
met him when he's dead.
I think I've heard that in
he's
like
one of the,
so many weird...
He was really smart because he
yeah.
didn't have a lot of talent at all. And he hired like a fleet of ghost artists who also weren't very good. But he made a fuck ton of money because he created Batman. And he was smart enough to get that creator credit for the rest of its time. And Bill Finger's only now slowly starting to get
yeah,
some recognition
yeah.
because a lot of creators are like, this is fucked up. Bob Kane did not do anything. Without Bill Finger, Batman would have lasted like 2 issues. It would have been like any other
yeah.
Golden Age superhero that didn't do anything.
I just want my creator credit for Batman.
And you deserve it. You deserve it. And you'll get it. You'll get it.
I get it.
I have the utmost faith in you.
Once we make all our money off of Fucky the Devil Clown...
Again,
then we'll lawyer
up. Fucky the Devil Clown is the express intellectual property
well,
of Joe Eggers.
I guess that you can create another name.
What were the other characters you came up with? You came up with some.
Bad Bart.
Bad Bart.
Mean Mel.
And Mean Mel.
Hold on, I'll think of some more. How about, fuck, what's another word for, like, evil?
Bad?
I use that word.
Corrupt.
Oh, sorry. Corrupt. But it'll be, like, corrupt and then, like... Corrupt.
Tainted.
Do you remember the rapper Corrupt and it was like K-U-R-U-P-T?
I don't think Corrupt's mom remembers any of this.
True. I just remember he was in like a Dr. Dre song once.
Who?
Corrupt.
No.
But yeah, Corrupt. Corrupt Kyle.
You're doing great.
No, Corrupt Carl.
Look, yeah. Oh, I like that better. Tell you what, we'll do a crossover with all your little guys and my Fuck You the Devil Clown.
Okay. And then we'll have one that's like Asshole Arnie.
Asshole
and
Arnie.
He's just like a,
that's too close to the way.
No, it'll be weird because and then people will be like, Asshole Arnie, he's such a dickhead. Because
yeah,
he's supposed
right.
to be an asshole,
that
but he's
be
actually
funny.
A dickhead.
It's a pretty good team book you're putting together.
Dickhead.
Yeah.
You just be
this
the
is
going to
be like this generation's Avengers. Or this is Justice League. Snapper Carl will show up.
Mm-hmm. They're going to be the...
What?
The Jerkstis League.
What? The Jerkstis League?
That's kind of gold.
Yeah, this is episode 52. The new 52.
Hey, everything I said is trademark property of me. That's a verbal contract.
Oh, it's the express written.
You've just been sued.
You know, you are owned.
I am
by Geek Stampede.
You are going to get owned by my lawyer.
Anything you say on the podcast is owned by Geek Stampede.
Yeah.
My lawyer's name
lawyer
is
up, finger.
Lawyer Lionel.
Lawyer Lionel? Lionel the lawyer.
No.
Oh, just lawyer,
lawyer
Lionel.
Lionel.
That's kind of hard to say, though.
Lawyer Lionel the lawman.
I know one of the reasons we don't have a lot of listeners is because I never use good tags for finding the episodes.
True.
And that's because I'm lazy, and so the only tag I'm putting on this episode is Lawyer Lionel.
The other reason why we don't have many listeners
that'll
is
come up.
Me.
No, it's not that. It's because we keep inviting our only listener to be on the show.
Yeah, that doesn't help either.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think positive progress getting rid of Rob.
I don't disagree.
Rob taking a vacation.
I mean, oh,
wink.
Rob.
I actually winked there. I actually winked there. Nobody saw it.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because you immediately talked about it.
Wink? Really?
Real wink?
I have two other books that weren't my favorite, I guess. I guess we could talk about this too.
Yeah.
Do it quickly. Three books from Image.
I
Manhattan Projects 22. This feels like the beginning of... It's almost like the beginning of Act 2 or Act 3 of Manhattan Projects.
Absolutely. There's kind of a new threat introduced at the start.
Yeah.
And it definitely plays catch up with a lot of the characters, but...
Yeah, and you also get to see, like, the beginning of Feynman actually writing the stuff that they always show at the beginning. The collected Feynman.
There we go. The recorded Feynman.
Yeah. As always, this book is great. I was thinking the other day that the only thing that I don't love is the covers, because they're clearly designed and they're really cool-looking covers, but... I just love Nick Fatara's art, and his covers on The Life After are so good they made me think, oh, I wish that we had some cool Manhattan Projects covers. But
I just love how the one Albert Einstein has a chainsaw that says E equals MC squared on like the blade.
Yeah, that was a great sequence.
I love that.
It's a great book. Have you read Manhattan Projects?
No.
There's a deluxe edition coming out in October, I think.
Yeah, I was thinking about that one.
I think it's worth it. Like, it's my favorite Hickman thing by far.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the stuff of his that I've read, I like it better than like Red Master Mars. I like it better than.
It's the only one I've never dropped.
It's my favorite, like, because it's.
I didn't read that.
It's typically like bonkers, massive universe Hickman, but it's also really fun and funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. This book is also one of my favorite books. The Fuse, number 6, wrapping up the first arc, The Russia Shift, Anthony Johnson, Justin Greenwood. It's just a murder mystery police procedural, but set on a satellite in space in the future. But, like, so many things... There's so many, like, murder cop show with a twist. But in this one, it feels like it's a cop show first. And the setting is... And the setting and the twist are just background. They're just part of this world. But it's not... It's not like that show... What's that show with Judge Dredd on it on TV right now? Is it
Judge
Almost
Dredd?
Human? You've played Judge Dredd. Part of the ring. Is it called Almost Human?
I can't remember, but it got canceled, I think.
Oh, did it?
And it had the guy with the really, really crazy blue eyes.
I don't know. I just know that it was like...
And he was in Barbershop?
Because for me, it's not hard to sell me on a detective show, or any kind of mystery, or especially a procedural. I have a huge soft spot for police procedurals. But this one, it felt too much just like, but he's an android, and people don't like androids. I'm like, just tell me a good mystery, and then if I'm interested, then you can feed me little bits about the characters. But you come up with this ridiculous, massive... Lost-esque high concept worlds that can barely that like the mystery itself isn't enough to sustain them, and then you barely give me any mystery plot. Like, presumably,
I feel like
you're
talking about Fringe.
Yeah, kind of, but at least on Fringe, like, they did a lot of Monster of the Weeks.
Yeah,
like, and on Fringe, the premise is they investigate weird Fringe Science shit with weird Fringe stories. And even that show bugs me because sometimes the writing is inconsistent and annoying. And I've talked about it a million times on this show, my main problem with that show, so I won't go into it again. But give me a mystery show, give me a good mystery, and then worry about your high concept sci-fi trappings later.
Do you want to hear my idea for
if it's anything like your other ideas, definitely do.
It'd be like a mystery, like crime procedural with a twist. Tony Twist, former NHL enforcer.
And what is he like? He solves mysteries?
I don't know. He'd just be in it.
Wait, so he's not the character.
No.
He's the actor.
But then we could just be
with
like.
With a twist.
Sorry, we. I could just be like, guys, it's a show. With a twist.
So that's the name of the show.
Yeah, dude.
He's just
yeah.
standing there.
He's just like, oh. In every issue of the episode, the cops walk by and they go, hi, Tony. He goes, hi, boys.
No, and he just kind of drools because he's
Todd
concussed. Like,
I sued Todd McFarlane.
So I went to my cousin's wedding, and he's like, he played college football, and he's had like multiple major concussions. And during all the like toasts and stuff, there were so many jokes about how many concussions he had, to the point where it was like, oh well, he's had more concussions than brain cells, and like, it was really weird. I felt really sad.
This guy's dumb. He's so
dumb.
You're
a stupid piece of shit. Happy wedding, you fucking idiot.
Enjoy your Lou Gehrig's when you're 40. Like,
your high school sports career was worth it.
That should be the new Coca-Cola slogan. Is that just enjoy? Should be enjoy Lou Gehrig's.
It was a lot of so weird. And then like my other cousins gave him a helmet. Which was kind of funny.
That's one of the problems with, like, when we got married, we did not have, like, a traditional formal wedding. I mean, we had a wedding, but there was no speeches, there was no head tables, there was none of that shit, because I hate cliche wedding humor, because people come up, they latch onto the one thing that they decide defines you as a person. Mm-hmm. My buddy Mike's wedding, I remember everybody who got up on stage just made fun of him for liking comics, and I was just like, this thing, like, first of all, there's more to this person than the fact that he likes Spider-Man. Secondly,
no,
you're being kind of dickish about it. I like Spider-Man too. Fuck you guys. I'm thinking about getting a Spider-Man tattoo.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Don't get that Scotty Young baby Spider-Man upside down with the web hanging off.
No.
Because I've seen 3 people with that.
Oh, really? I wasn't going to get a baby.
I've seen him retweet that people have tweeted to him that they've got that tattoo.
Oh, wow.
It's like, ugh. Did you see the other 2 guys that he retweeted? Like, that's kind of suck.
I was going to get it on my balls, though.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
Spider balls.
Spider balls.
Anyway.
With a twist.
With a twist. I'm going to get Tony Twist to do my tattoo.
Yeah.
The last book was Rick Remender and Greg Tocchini's new series, Low, number 1. Okay, now this is like a crazy, ridiculous, high-concept science fiction series, and yet the character moments in it are so good, and I'm so interested in the people in this book. Like, the first...
Oh, there's some butt.
There is some butt. But it's just like, within the first couple pages, you really have a feel for who the main characters are. And as it goes on, like, it's all... The temptation has got to be there to be like, because you know that the writer has like notebooks full of all the trappings of this world he's created, but rather than spend doing like an info dump or exposition heavy book, it's just like a lot of shit happens. They establish the premise of the book really well. They give you some sort of like some hints towards what the world is and why it's the way it is. Like, cause it's not terribly confusing, but it's just like the basic premise is in the far future, as we all know, eventually the sun will burn out and take the world with it. So humanity is getting closer and closer to that, and trying to find different places that they can live. So the last, but at the now they've been searching so long, they've not been able to find anything. So their last few cities are living deep underwater, and there's pirates and stuff like that. But first of all, Tocchini's art's awesome. But it's just a really cool book, and the premise of these two people's children's being kidnapped, and they're going to go and find them in this world, but it was really enjoyable to the point where I'm not going to buy issue 2. I'm just going to get the trade. I'm getting better at that, boys. I'll try the first issue to decide whether I want to get the eventual $10 trade, and that one I definitely do want to get. It was really good.
I didn't get it.
Yeah. They're not going to cancel Rick Remender's book, so
no. Yeah. He's launching a fourth and a fifth ongoing, I think, isn't he? Like, That's awesome. Like that. Everything he's writing is good.
The only thing I buy of him right now is Cap.
Black Science, Deadly Class, now Low. He's launching that one with Sean Murphy.
I might get that.
And isn't he doing the Marvel event?
Yeah, he's writing Axis.
Yeah.
He's a busy guy.
Yeah, and he does like Uncanny and Cap.
And Cap, yeah.
I don't trust anybody who writes that much.
Else.
And yet, like, I'm surprised at how good it all is. Like, he seems to have no trouble keeping them quality.
Especially considering he shouldn't even have a job.
Yeah, fire Rick Remender. Fire Rick Remender so that there'd be more room for other people like me and Justin to write comics.
You should at least put that in the...
Hashtag Fire Rick Remender because I want to write some of these things. Let some of us write something, dick. Okay, I'll talk about one other thing and then we can do our favorites. I started reading it tonight. I don't think it came up this week, but very recently. Through the Woods is a collection of Emily Carroll's short stories, many of which I believe...
I love your bookmark.
Yeah, isn't he great? It's a badass. It's a Triple H Generation X wrestling card from 1998. I was looking for a bookmark that had a stack of wrestling cards on the coffee table. I was like, yeah, sure, that'll work.
Wait, you have a stack? Are they still
show,
there?
Yeah,
okay.
I'll show them to you. I've
got a stack of bookmarks.
I found them in a drawer in an X-Men goodie bag from like a birthday party.
Oh, must have been the best birthday of all time.
No, here's the thing. I didn't get them at a birthday party. I just put them in that bag for some reason years ago. Put them in a drawer. And inside, there's also like a cassette tape of a book I liked as a kid called The Railway Cat. Like, weird shit. It's like my version of a time capsule. Anyway, the book Emily Carroll has done, these really creepy horror short stories, many if not all of which have been previously published on her blog. But they're really fucking creepy. And she's an amazing artist, and they're so fucking good. And it's not fair that other people are so good at writing things when I'm not. Fuck Emily Carroll.
You can form a legible sentence like you're miles ahead of me.
You haven't read my comics yet, bud.
You haven't read my...
I've...
Stop. See?
I've listened to you talk.
Yeah.
We don't have to sing this way. We can just go into favorites.
I got this.
My favorite. My
favorite. It's just like the Riddler theme from Comedy Bang Bang. Favorite. Okay. Ryan, what's your favorite?
I listened to a couple.
Which ones?
298, 99, and 300.
300 is amazing, but it's
but
better.
I had no idea what happened.
300 is a lot better if you've been listening since the beginning because they bring back every character that he's ever
played.
That 90
days have done, yeah.
And like if... It's way funnier if you know who the characters are.
I just thought how
back.
He couldn't remember who half of, like...
I know.
He's, like,
and they keep making jokes about how they all sound the same.
Yeah. The Weird Al episode is really funny, too.
Yeah, it was good. The new one so far is pretty good, too.
No, this isn't too good. This is mine, not yours. This is mine.
Yeah.
My favorite.
Yeah.
As it is every 2.5 months at this point. Hawkeye, issue 19.
Hawkeye.
Which is... It's weird that this is only on issue 19, but once again, it comes out every 2.5 months. And, guys, so worth it.
I think I'm 6 months behind on this comic. I love it, but I haven't read it in a while.
When are you going to read it?
No, I actually did buy this.
Oh, okay.
It's one of the only Marvel books I'm still buying in print. I'm getting Hawkeye, Spider-Man, and Original Sin.
This issue is like... They're basically coining it the sign language issue,
kind of
in the sense that there was the pizza dog issue and stuff like that.
There's no dialogue in it?
Because Clint in the last issue kind of had an ear malfunction.
Like an Archer?
Yeah.
Do you watch Archer?
Yeah, but I've only seen like the first 3 seasons or 4 seasons.
Well, then you should know, but like Archer always having guns go off by his
head. Oh my god,
anyway.
So Hawkeye's deaf, and it's like mostly silent book. There's some dialogue.
Cool.
And then at the end, some
stuff
happens.
It is cool that Fraction and Aja do this weird like experimental shit in a mainstream Marvel book.
And it's such a nice like.
And it's
Dave
popular.
Aja can take as long as he wants because it looks so good too.
I agree, and it's nice that Marvel doesn't force fill-in artists and just it'll come out when it's ready.
Yeah. And, like, even when they do, it's, like, Annie Wu, who...
Well, she's doing
the
Kate Bishop stuff now, right?
And it, like, it doesn't necessarily come out any faster either.
Yeah. I've wondered, like, what the deal with that is. Like, is it Aja, you think, or...?
I think so. I mean, it might be Fraction, because he is writing a ton of shit, but... I'm pretty sure it's Dave Aja, because, like, I mean, really, when you look at his stuff, like, it's very, very detailed and creative, and I don't know.
Yeah, I just saw a topical tweet for us boys. They're an hour behind us in Vancouver.
Does that mean you rub it on?
Yeah. In Vancouver.
That was hilarious.
And the first screenings of Guardians were at 10, so 9 our time, and our good friend Brett Yanta saw it.
Do you like it?
Says it's every bit as good as you've heard. It's so rounded, so excellent. And he doesn't like a lot of things.
That's true. He like girls.
Hey! Hey!
Also boys. Just doesn't like people. Doesn't even like movies, that guy.
Right.
The joke is that that's all he likes.
So my favorite was Fatale number 24. The last issue of Fatale. I'm not going to talk about it because, really, at this point, what could I possibly... Like, if you, it's the final issue of a 24-issue series. There's very little I can say about it at this point that would convince you to read it if you haven't already.
I will say the start, like, the first 5 or 6 pages... are
pretty cool, eh?
They weirded me out when I first opened the book, but it's cool.
Yeah. It's such a good book. I'm looking forward to going back and rereading it from the start.
Me too. Because I have no idea what's happening.
I don't know. I didn't think it was that confusing.
I have a problem with this book with forgetting what happened a lot of the time. And once again, like Manhattan Projects, read this when I was really tired.
You should stop
doing
that.
I should.
Well, so that is about all we have time for. We have more time, but we're not going to, you know, whatever.
Hold on. How was your day?
I was working. It was long.
Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, it's hot.
I didn't ask you what your favorite was because you didn't read anything.
I didn't read any comics this week. Yeah. That's my.
But you like them.
That's my Kramer entrance.
But you like comics.
Boom! I didn't read any comics.
I didn't read anything this week.
Hey, I know what we need to talk about.
Ryan. Okay.
And even though I hate the guy, we should throw a plug in for our little guy Robbie. Is writing a comic.
A plug,
book.
Eh?
Throw a plug in.
Right up his butt.
Butt plug.
Well, yeah, Rob, you can read his.
You're gonna
have Wild to Rose County.ca. Yeah,
I think that's it. But 90%
I should know. I'm pretty sure it's that. But
go follow him at Ghost
Factory.
Yeah, there's
at least 3 teasers up there now for future stories.
Three or four.
And I guess that means that the first issue of the first complete story will be coming, you know, later in the fall.
Mm-hmm. Available.
So yeah,
from Rob.
Yeah, you can get it at WildRoseCounty.ca. So Robbie G and Shay Frank.
Who is phenomenally talented.
She's very talented, yes.
She's very good at what she does.
So yeah,
she's
you
the best in the world
comics.
At what she does.
Yeah. And
that's
speaking of comics produced by members of Geek Stampede, Midnight Feature number 1 will be coming in September. That's all you need to know.
Just should be ready for the Red and White show?
Yeah, we should talk about that. But not on the mics.
Also, when's New Wolfhands coming?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Still working on it.
I'm getting there.
Okay. Nick's got all those paying gigs at Fast Forward and all that other stuff.
Tell him to get a real job.
Yeah. Hey, you know, the other day, this is an amusing anecdote. I had emailed Chris at the shop because I wanted some book, and he said, "Oh, sorry, I missed it for you." And I was like, "Oh, it's no big deal." And he's like, "Oh, why don't you ever give me shit for missing these things?" And I was like, "Yeah, what the fuck, Chris? Don't you know who I am? I am a close personal friend of Wolfhands creator." Anyway.
And now you get your books on time.
And you know what? Yeah. Hasn't missed it since. It works.
Mussolini made the trains run on time. You get your books on time.
Fucking right.
Same thing.
Justin
it's all about
is
who
the
you
new
know.
Mussolini. Yep. If you ever do for Volume 2 of Wolfhands,
Justin's more Hitler.
Just says Justin is the new Mussolini. Joey G.
We're gonna do a pull quote from Ryan Brown.
Yeah.
When he brought it up on 11 o'clock. But he got Nick's name, but he didn't know. He forgot who I was. So it's like I forget what the quote was, but it's something like I forget whether who. It's really great. I forget who the writer is. Right, like that's the perfect quote.
You should also include the quote underneath it of Vince B pretending he knows what he's talking about.
I don't know.
He's like, yeah. I haven't read it, but anyway, you fucking should.
And then also this quote: "I like it, bad Bart."
Yeah. Until next week, I am Fucky the Death Clown.
I'm Mean Mel.
I don't remember.
Mean Mel B.
Mean Mel B from the Spice Girls.
Yes. I'm Sassy Spice.
Yeah, she was scary.
She was scary Spice.
I don't know which was more racist, sassy or scary.
Well, she was scary because she had frizzy hair. Because she was like, ah!
Unkempt Spice.
I mean, Ginger Spice was the redhead. Like, Baby Spice was the creepy, like...
preteen.
Pederasty kind of thing. Or
yeah.
Short skirt.
She would love, like, Divergent.
She's just like, Santa baby. I fucking hate that song too. That song is just like, if I talk like a baby, you'll want to fuck me at Christmas. And it's fucking creepy.
And then, like, Posh Spice was just a big fan of my Miami Heat forward, Chris Posh. That's such a basketball joke. His name's,
yeah,
his
right.
name's Chris Bosh.
That's such a basketball joke. Yeah, it is.
He used to play for the Toronto Raptors.
Is that right?
Chris Bosh. Oh, and Sporty Spice loved cooking.
And
oh, I'm
flips.
Glad we had that card truck, too, because we went an entire episode without Rob, that we almost without mentioning wrestling.
Yeah.
How was Battleground? I didn't get to watch it. I heard that the tag match was the best match on the
card.
Tag
match was the best match on the card. Fatal 4-Way was about as expected. What that pay-per-view needed was Brock that night.
Yeah, I agree.
If Brock came out that night, it would have been a really good... but at this point, when we still have to pay because we're peasants in Canada,
yeah.
$50 probably not worth it.
Hmm. Okay.
But well, not my money.
Until next week, I am Joey G, a.k.a. Fuck You the Death Cloud.
I'm a guy.
You're your guy, and Justin is Justin.
That's right. I didn't read any comics.
Doesn't read comics, doesn't understand comics. And fuck you the Death Cloud.
Doesn't read comics, doesn't know how to read.
You love that joke,
and
too.
He's the
yeah, that is like your go-to joke. Whenever someone's like, I read this, you're like, imagine when you could read.
It really is.
Because like on Instagram, it was a picture of Rob and I walking through the parking lot with the chapters, and someone was just like, oh, it would be awesome to be in a bookstore with these two. And I was like, that's flattering, and you don't know me very well because I'm boring to be in a bookstore. And then Ryan's like, imagine when they learn how to read. I'm just like, I'm laughing, but I've heard you tell that joke before.
That's why they're funny.
That, you know,
beat
what?
The
Adam
humor
Costello
to
did Who's on First a billion times, and it was still funny.
It was funnier.
I don't know if it was funnier,
yep.
But it was still funny.
Yep.
I guess there's that rule of three and the rule of 3,000, something that's funny if you do it three times, and then it's totally not funny until you get to 3,000, then it's fucking hilarious. Mm-hmm. Family Guy basically exists because of that rule. Him going, it's kind of funny for the first three, then it's annoying for the next 10, and then it's fucking hysterical when you realize that they're still going.
And, like, Jeff Foxworthy?
Okay. That's enough.
Well, he's a guy.
Next week on Geeks TV, we will see if you are smarter than a fifth grader or Ryan.
Probably.
Thanks. I'm actually not going to be here next week, so you probably won't have a pod next week again, so...
Right.
This will tide you over.
It's my birthday like 3 days after, but okay. Way to ruin it.
Sorry, bud. I love you though.
It was ruined already. My parents are leaving, and apparently I don't have friends. So.
Oh, on that note. Love you and goodbye.
Bye.